Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Inspire Your Life podcast with me, your host, Aarti Ravikrishnan. I believe we find inspiration all around us, especially from the stories that we all have in us. My aim with the Inspire Your Life podcast is to bring some of those real stories to light, stories of my guests that resonate with you and me. It's by listening to these stories that we can be inspired and motivate ourselves to overcome, find a new path, and rise even higher than we thought possible. Joining me on the show today is Kim Neeson, and we will be talking about resilience and forgiveness. Kim is an award-winning entrepreneur and business leader. In 1996, she formed her company, Neeson's, and grew it from a one-woman business to a multi-million dollar company over the course of 2+ decades in the legal services space. Now, this business was actually acquired by the largest court reporting company in the world in 2019. That's amazing, Kim. And in 2022, Kim retired from that firm, but now she spearheads Kim Neeson Consultancy, where she puts her knowledge, her mentorship, and lived experience to work for her clients. I love your key focus areas as well, Kim. It's in areas of gender equity coaching and consulting, co-creating with businesses in terms of their post-pandemic culture, and also team engagement in the office. And also now walking alongside women leaders and entrepreneurs who are looking to re-energize, rebalance, and re-engage their work-life realities. Kim, it's really, really lovely to have you on the show today. So welcome to the Inspire Your Life podcast.
Thank you so much, Aarti. I'm thrilled to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. I've just given everybody a quick view about you, but we want to know a bit more about you, Kim. So share with us.
Well, I'm currently working with a number of organizations, helping them enhance women entrepreneurs and to build their businesses. And I'm really excited about this work. Through the pandemic, I ended up relocating really from the big city to more out in the country. And I'm really enjoying the change. I never thought I could ever move from the city. But it's interesting. It was one of the pandemic gifts, I suppose. And so I really enjoy my time up here. And I'm really into pickleball these days. I don't know if you've heard of pickleball.
Ooh, please tell me, what is that about? What is pickleball?
Well, it's a combination of badminton, ping pong skills, and tennis.
Oh, and
so it's a great game. It's very addictive, very social. Uh-huh. And so it's believe it or not, they're converting a lot of tennis courts into pickleball courts. So maybe you'll get it one of these days, because it's catching like wildfire here in North America.
Oh, amazing. Well, I can't wait for that to come through in South Africa.
And it's easy to learn, which is fantastic.
Look, and I enjoy tennis, I enjoy badminton, and I enjoy ping pong. So yeah, I think all in one mix sounds pretty much up my alley. That's awesome. Wonderful. Thanks for sharing a little bit more about you. And I love the focus area that you mentioned as well in terms of women entrepreneurs. And you yourself, as a female entrepreneur, you have quite a story to share with us about resilience. And in fact, even beyond that, it's more about a David and Goliath story. And I really want you to share that with our listeners, please.
Well, okay, here we go. So slight bit of background. I, by training, am a court reporter, a stenographer, one of those people who uses that little machine you've probably seen in movies to take a record. And we work in the legal sphere doing transcripts. So prior to a lawsuit getting going, where it goes to court, parties will come to a private office run by a company of whatever sort. And you would provide services. So my story starts, I had my first child and I was working in the courts and decided that I would give my hand at the freelance world. And I began working with a firm, and the woman who ran the firm was herself an entrepreneur. had been at court. And so I worked there for a number of years. And, you know, I guess it was around year four that she had hired a manager, and it caused a lot of conflict in the office. So there came a time where a number of people had left and I had my own run in, and I said, okay, that's it. I'm out of here. And I decided to start my own business literally on the spot. Mm-hmm. Now, in saying that, I had certainly talked about it a lot, and I had my best friend worked at the firm, and we with another gal used to talk about forming our firm, and they decided not to join me in the end. So I went about starting it myself.
Uh-huh.
Year and a half or so later, these two ladies approached me and said, you know, we really want to join you. In the end, through discussions, one of them joined, not my best friend, but somebody else.
Okay.
And so we then commenced, you know, in my business, now becoming a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
She was able, had been working at the same old freelance firm from before. She was working on a big, big case. And when she left, she let them know that she was leaving. This big case decided to follow her to our firm.
Oh, okay.
This did not go sit well with the previous owner, or the mm-hmm. The owner we were working for.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so she decided on the Friday night of a long weekend to serve both of us with a lawsuit, with the document saying we were being sued. And not only was she suing us in the capacity of the business, but also as individuals. So, you know, our houses are on the line. I mean, our personal financials are on the line at this point.
Yes.
So needless to say, that was pretty upsetting. And, you know, here you are, you're starting a new business. You know, we're only a year and a half out.
Yeah.
Now we've got a lawsuit from one of the biggest court reporting firms in the city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was just horrific to even think about. So we retained a lawyer and, you know, work with a lot of lawyers. So it's not a problem to find one.
Yeah.
And he said to us, you know what, this is just trying to scare you. This case can't go anywhere. Don't worry about it. I'll write a letter. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. However, she was pretty determined. And so we found ourselves head on into this. It wasn't going to go away. So here we are trying to build this business. She has to tell these clients that we're being sued,
mm-hmm.
hoping they won't leave and be intimidated to you know, just go back because they don't need the aggravation, but they stuck with us, which was great. But, you know, here we are now having to spend money on a lawyer and into pretrial procedures. And here we go into what's called a discovery. So the discovery happens before you get into court. And that's where each side gets a chance to find out what the case is against the other.
Okay.
And in prior to the discoveries happening, you know, my best friend who was still working there called me and said, you know, you can't tell her anything about me wanting to work with you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying, I can't lie for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, you did nothing wrong. You're an independent contractor. You can talk to whoever you want. Yeah. So literally when we got to the discovery table, this business owner did not even know, because my best friend didn't tell her, even though I told her we weren't going to lie.
Yes.
She found out at that time,
okay.
You know. So that was a pretty big thing. And still after the discovery, and, you know, usually at that point, about 96% of cases are settled, okay. But not ours. No, we go on to trial.
Oh.
And to be in court and having been somebody who worked in court for the first 10 years of her career, you know, I know that even though we didn't do anything wrong, the judge might think differently.
Mm.
So you have this tremendous stress. I've got two young children at this point.
Uh-huh.
I've got a new business. I've got this lawsuit hanging over my head. And it was just the stress level was absolutely incredible.
I
felt like I was in a hurricane, you know.
Yes.
And of course, there's the cost of litigation. It's not cheap to litigate. And so, you know, in terms of resilience during that time, you know, certainly support from family and friends was really important.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing for me, though, from a work perspective and just a life is, you know, I still kept putting one foot in front of the other. And it's like, just get through today.
Yeah.
Just get through today. Don't try to focus on, you know, what's going to happen at court. You can't control it.
Yeah.
And just try every day to focus on what you have to do.
Yeah.
So in the end, we go through a 5-day trial. And it was, you know, here I am as a court reporter. I'm usually the one sitting there taking down what people are going through, not the person who's actually going through it. And we get to the end of the trial and we have to, the judge reserves his decision and we don't know when it's going to come out. So now we're living in this state of unknown of going to find for us. Is he going to find for her? Are we going to end up like losing everything financially, reputationally, you know, the whole ball of wax. But finally a judgment came out and we had won hands down, which was fabulous. And, you know, I think not only just putting my, you know, one foot in front of the other, but also, you know, I think of resilience often a lot like a tree where, you know, every little challenge that we get in life from childhood onwards, you know, we start building those roots into the ground. And as our tree gets bigger and bigger, you know, trees, no matter how big they are, still sway in the wind. And I really felt that when I look back on this whole experience, while it was extremely stressful and something I wouldn't wish on anybody, it sure built my tree and my roots. And so as I went through business in years to come, that experience helped me ride a lot of other storms that, you know, people do go through in their life, whether, you know, they're running a business or in their personal lives. And interestingly, so, and I think you could probably imagine that for many years, I was very like, this woman and her manager were people I never wanted anything to do with. I had a lot of angry feelings towards them. But at some point I started exploring the idea of forgiveness and we're reading books and, you know, listening to people talk about forgiveness and the power of forgiveness. And that if you don't forgive people, how it actually impacts you. And I thought, okay, this is going to be my experiment because I had a couple of, we had a couple of mutual friends that had reached out once in a while and said, hey, you know, do you think you might be, you know, willing to kind of bury the hatchet, so to speak. And I hadn't been ready. And I thought, okay, I'm going to give this a try. I'm going to experiment with this idea of forgiveness. And so, you know, I agreed to a meeting, you know, in a bar, you know, with drinks and a couple of friends who were mutual. And it was hard. It was really, really hard. But I met with them individually. That's the manager and the firm owner. And I decided I'd forgive them. I didn't forget what happened, but I was going to forgive them. And it was so powerful. It released me. Which I was so surprised at because everything I was reading and the, you know, the people who said this is sort of, you know, a path to mental freedom. One of the paths, you know, holding on to negativity, holding on to, you know, feelings of anger or hatred, or you think of all those kinds of words that might come to mind. I could have done that with them for the rest of my life and said, you know what, I'm done with you. I don't, you know, but the opportunity had presented itself and I was at that point in my life and, you know, I was just blown away at how strong it was for me. So for people who are maybe listening to this story, don't be afraid to try it. And you know, there's so much conflict in our world. So how can we free ourselves at least and start making, you know, our world a better place, our inner world, and expressing that out. And in the end, the manager ended up working for me for a period of time, which is kind of funny. And at a point in my life, this is several years later, after this meeting, where I was just really worn out. And so she came in and was able to just give me really the break I needed. And the business owner and I resumed a friendship. And so I'll tell you, at the time of, you know, in that trial and in that period of time where all that was taking place, if you had said to me, do you know that, you know, 5 years down the road, you're going to be friends? And I would have said, you're crazy. That's never going to happen. So that's my story.
Wow. I mean, Kim, what you've taken us on a journey here, absolutely, with this story. You know, from a fledgling business to a trial by fire, literally, you know, with a massive lawsuit over you, to win that hands down, as you said, and come through a period of reflection and an opportunity to forgive, to end up, as you said, being friends with the same person who put you through that ordeal, At the end of it, I mean, it's completely a full circle type of a story. And for me, as you were going through it, I love the part about that, you know, the forgiveness aspect. You know, it wouldn't have naturally seemed to have materialized, but an opportunity presented itself and you were ready, I suppose, and in that space of wanting to do something more with, I think, all of the emotions that you had been going through, and this sort of landed up in your plate. And I guess the question that came up for me when you were talking about that specifically was, would you know if there's any time where, you know, through this pathway of building your resilience building that ability to bounce back and sway, you know, using your tree analogy, can that falter at any point if you choose to forgive? And I'm just wondering, is that a case? Is that something that's possible? Or does it actually embolden or enhance your resilience?
I think it enhances it. Okay. Because it feels like an evolution. Mm-hmm. If you think about, I'm going to go back to my tree again, the tree shedding its leaves. And of course, being I'm talking to you from Canada. So, you know, going through those cold months where, you know, the trees lose their leaves, you know, they shed and then regrow. Mm-hmm. And come back even stronger the next year. And I think the more positivity you can put into your life, those things help you when the next challenge comes along. Mm-hmm. Because you can draw on all these experiences as you go along in your life and look back and say, you know, look, there are times where relationships end with people. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, it's about not hanging on to the negativity of it. So again, like a tree, some things need to be pruned in order to grow. I think some people are in your lives for a reason. I think things happen for a reason. But one of the things I've noticed, Arthi, is that people who get to a certain age, and I would say, you know, it can be as young as 40.
Yeah.
They haven't kind of come to terms with some things and accepted it and then let it go. It really shapes the rest of their life. Mm. And not necessarily in a positive way. And whereas if you let it go, and whether that's through forgiveness, or maybe you forgive the person in your mind and you're not able to express it for whatever reason, but to not, you know, replay those negative things, I can tell you, for the first year after the trial, I mean, I replayed that whole scenario many, many, many times over in my head. But even to what end? We won. Mm-hmm. But it was until I could really let go of that negativity, let go of, you know, I'm not going to let you take up any more of my space. And that forgiveness in this situation for me really did that. And no one was more surprised than me. Like, I did not expect that result. I thought there was no way I can forgive these people. And yet it happened. And just being open to trying something. I didn't know if it would work or not. But I think it's really built my resilience even further through being able to release. And I'm not saying when something bad happens to you, that's necessarily what happens the next day. This took time.
Yes.
But being open to it and finding what are the silver linings that can come out of these things, I think is really important too. And when you're very close to something, you can't necessarily do that. But over time, you know, I think about that trial now and how I did come through it. Mm-hmm. Amazingly. Do I wish I had gone through it? No. But I certainly had a better appreciation for what people went through who are sued, and right, probably made me a little more empathetic as a service provider. Okay. As well, because I was in the business of listening to people litigating day in and day out.
Yes.
And it was interesting, right after the trial, I had problems even sitting in a room where people were litigating. I had to give myself a little bit of a break on that.
Okay.
That whole sort of tension, but I think it gave me more empathy too. So lots of growth out of that.
Oh, definitely sounds like it, Kim. My goodness. What a strong mindset as well. As you said, it doesn't happen overnight, but what a strong mindset to develop, to be able to reframe and look at it to that sort of a lens of growth, of development, of experience, of wisdom. Okay, so sum it up first then, Kim, in terms of your key takeaways from that time in your life. What would you say stand out for you?
It's really important to live in the moment. Mm-hmm. There are lots of worries we all have in our lives, but all we have is today. Mm-hmm. And so live for today, be in today, be be in your moment, be in the now. And when adversity comes, know it will pass. And you've just got to just put that one foot forward in front of the other and be kind to yourself and seek out support of friends and family and read supportive mm-hmm. books, listen to supportive mm-hmm. podcasts, mm-hmm. listen to other stories who have come through dark storms. Mm-hmm. And when you get past that storm in your life, mm-hmm. let it go. And if it's in the form of forgiveness, if it's in the form of forgiving yourself for something, yeah. don't hold on to it. Process it, you know, grieve it, whatever you have to do, yeah. but then be ready to move on from it and find something good out of it. Some lesson learned, something, maybe you'll never do something else again the same yeah. way, but you learned that. So now you know, and just take that with you and carry it and put it in your toolbox and be that tree. Mm. Be the tree.
Be the tree. Beautiful analogy with the tree, though. As you're talking about, you know, the using all of these takeaways, I mean, you personally have been using them even currently. Like you were saying, you moved out of the city, you're in the country now, you're engaging in a new sport, but it's like all around living in the moment, which is what you mentioned in the beginning. I mean, what else are you busy with in terms of having gone through this experience, sharing these takeaways with us? How else are you using those key takeaways in your life now, Kim?
And I think through my work in coaching and consulting, and especially working with women entrepreneurs and women leaders, you know, there's so much we have to deal with as women, you know, that I think resiliency is a real big key for us. And that I think we still have to work harder. Improve ourselves more. I'm not saying that's the way it should be, but we're still pushing against a lot of ceilings and, yes. you know, having the resiliency that and that stick-to-itness, going through problems, coming out the other side, and being able to help women, mm-hmm. coach women, and with that background of the adversities that I've come through. And Arthi, I could share many stories that yeah. probably no one else has gone through, such as a lawsuit. I've got others that, you know, I kept sometimes sitting there going, why me? But yeah. when I look at it today, I'm able to help so many other women. Mm-hmm. And you know, whether it's running a business and going through a divorce or, you know, a child who's got, you know, problems that but you still got all these other people you're helping and because you're running a business or this sort of yeah. thing. So having the lived experience,
yes,
I think provides not only empathy, but also I hope I can help be a light at the end of someone's tunnel and helping them find that, you know, getting to their own light, that they can get through these adversities and challenges. And I think one of the things that's given me is this ability to really think outside the box. And I like to help people figure it out. And sometimes, you know, when you're in your own forest, you don't, here I am again, you don't see the tree for the forest. My goodness, I'm having a tree day. And so having, you know, being able to coach and help women through that to get to the other side, to find the trail again is really so gratifying. And after 4 decades in the same industry and having come through all of that, I what I wanted to be able to do next was to help others achieve their dreams and not let adversities stand in the way.
I hear you. And, you know, I think it's so important what you said about that particular point, about the adversities that we all face, you know, and as you said rightly, there's so many ceilings that we as women particularly still have to go through. And if we're learning through storytelling, through others' lived experiences, there's opportunities for us to suddenly have that light bulb moment, that aha, that, oh, maybe I could try something like that. And suddenly you give somebody courage to take action in a different way. And that's the whole idea behind even this podcast, which is why I'm so pleased that you're here, because I'm all about sharing these very real stories, because it does resonate with our listeners and subscribers, Kim. So your story today, around this particularly is going to resonate with so many women, so many businesses, young businesses as well, who have probably gone through a very similar dark time. And, you know, some of the things that you have come out of and come out with, let me say, is probably going to be a big light bulb for them in terms of, well, how do I approach this? How do I look at it from a mindset perspective? How do I reframe and you know, not wallow or not become frustrated and tensed and let it prolong for a length of time? So very, very important themes I think you've highlighted for all of us. And I really, really appreciate you sharing. And I love for you to share more stories, which is probably an
upcoming. All right. Well, for another podcast, another day.
Another day. But, you know, in terms of this one, I think some brilliant, brilliant advice, brilliant guidance, and highly relatable. Absolutely highly relatable. You know, as we're coming to the end of the conversation today, which, you know, believe me, I can go on and on because it's so interesting in terms of what you're sharing. But I would love it if, and I mean, you've already done the tree analogy, so you might want to stick with it if that's the theme for today. But I would love it if you could share something that just keeps you inspired, something that makes you motivated to keep doing what you're doing currently, or, you know, around coaching, consulting, motivating others, women businesses. It could be a poem, it could be a quote, maybe a song lyric, something spiritual even, but something that you'd like to share with our listeners today.
Well, you know, Arthi, I mentioned that I moved to the country. So being amongst nature is really something that is my touchstone, and getting out in, you know, walking in the trees. We've got some beautiful trails where I live with big, big, tall trees with canopies and streams. Oh, and
beautiful.
It's just fabulous. And I go in there with my, I've got a Portuguese water dog. Mm-hmm. So he and I go down to the trail and often start our day that way. And I think, you know, we are part of nature and embracing that and being part of it and taking that to some quiet moments to just be is really what I think of.
Just being present in the moment. How beautiful. Really, yeah. Really like that. Kim, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing.
Thank you so much, Arthi. It was wonderful to speak with you. And everybody out there, keep swaying. Don't break.
You are more flexible than you know. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Kim. Take care.
Thank you, Arthi. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode today. If you like what you heard, rate the episode and podcast, and feel free to write a review. Plus, of course, share with others too. I love talking around topics like these. So if you like my perspective or insight on a subject close to your heart, or something that you're grappling with, reach out to me in your comments or send me an email via my website, or connect with me via LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook. All my social media are on the podcast information. If it's important to you, then it's important to me. So happy listening to the Inspire Your Life podcast, and catch you soon on the next episode. Bye.